Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Arturo.
Hello everyone.
And Gozogoz.
Hi.
In today's episode, we're talking about the Idolmaster Million Live. I never know if you should pronounce the A as an at, so I don't.
Oh no, don't do that. No, that's just a crime upon humanity.
The Idolmaster Million Live, a series that's only a handful of episodes in. Since this is based on a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule like we did during Season 1 of this very podcast. Like previous podcasts about new shows, I won't be as detailed in my synopsis, so do check out the anime if we pique your interest. It was produced by Shiragumi, the studio behind several Doraemon movies, and Dragon Quest Your Story, which we covered on this very podcast. When I noticed that, I went down through my notes to see which anime I had mentioned during this section of Dragon Quest Your Story, and I said several Dora movies and an upcoming Idolmaster anime. And this is that anime. The Idolmaster Million Live currently has a My Anime List score of 7.04. This is based on the game called the Idolmaster Million Live Theater Days, developed by Bandai Namco Studios and released for mobile phones in 2017 in Japan. There was a Gree social network game called The Idolmaster Million Live, but that ended service in 2018, so I doubt that this is based on that version. My summary goes as follows. A trio of 14-year-olds decide to become idols and do so with absolutely no hurdles. Arturo, what do you have?
Follow the story of a member of the softball team, the tennis team, the track team, the basketball team, the swim team, the archery team, the biology club, and the tea club, and she sets out to find her passion. None of the above.
And goes.
Idol master, gotta manage them all.
Just beautiful. The first episode, we open on a school baseball game between two schools. I'm not going to list them. There are enough names in this. Which protagonist's team is not winning. The protagonist we meet is Mirai Kasuga, who is narrating about dreams and manages to get a solid hit and runs home. After seven innings, the game ends with their team losing 7-1. They don't mind though, because it means they can keep playing. And Mirai leaves them to help a montage of people. The basketball team, the swimming team, the archery team, the farming team, and some random kids. She ends up playing ping pong with some elderly people and gets gifted something that we don't see. Later at home, she's asked if she has basketball practice tomorrow, and she says no, she's helping the track team, and then lists everyone she's helping, somehow missing out the farming team.
And the random kids, how dare she?
Later, we're shown that her gift was a ticket to the spring special tour by 765 Pro All-Stars. Thank you. And we see some of the other ticket holders and then get the title.
Which is?
Galarian's Rion.
God damn it. I wanted to torture you trying to say it.
Leaving the house for the concert, Mariah's parents convince her that in her third row seat she will require binoculars to see the idols. She arrives and gets inside, promptly colliding with 765? Whatever. Producer named Producer. I think that might be from the games. Like, you play the characters talk to you and call you Producer.
It's very kinky like that.
We cut to Producer looking down at the gathering audience, and he's disturbed by Chief Producer. Apparently the next audition that Producer sees will be his last. That's explained later, but right then it sounded like you are going to be sacked after this.
They were threatening his life.
They're joined by Junjiro Takagi, the president of 765 Production, who reveals that the next project after today will require rookie idols. And it seems that Producer is getting a promotion. As I say, it does get explained. We now cut to Shizuka Mogami, who is staring at a copy of the poster which the president was showing the producer, and she's joined by Mirai. Shizuka is obviously a little put off by Mirai's very outgoing nature, and also it appears that row 3 isn't quite as far forwards as I assumed. Because when she was looking at her ticket, it was row 3, and I'm like, she's not going to need binoculars. She's right at the front. And then we see where she is, and she's not very...
Well, it's a little known fact, but in Japan, they count from the middle.
We cut back to producer, who is joined by Tsubasa Ibuki, who he invited there. The show begins with the All-Stars singing Top with 3 exclamation marks. And I'm not listing all of their names because there's 13 of them, and we see like 3 of them later for 5 seconds.
No, we need it.
Just list one name per episode.
There are enough names in this, and I don't think that we are introduced to all the characters. We cut to after the concert, and our 3 protagonists were very impressed by the show. Mirai decides that she wants to become an idol and convinces Shizuka to take a chance at the auditions. Mirai at home explains to her parents that she wants to audition with her new friend and applies via the website, and we see Shizuka doing the same. We then cut to Tsubasa, who is responding to a text message about her agreeing to become an idol. So we're basically told she does not need to audition. And then we cut to producer, who has a list of applicants up on the board. While I was writing my notes, I did go back and edit some of them, but I was under the impression that all of the people up on the board were auditioning for, like, at the auditions. But no, the people up on the board are actually part of this project.
Yeah, I was really confused by that too. I thought the exact same you did. I was like, wow, that's a lot of people for them to beat.
The president turns up and gives an inspirational quote and then very quickly moves away from it. Producer goes, oh, sir, reaches up to touch the president, but he's already gone.
Well, I want to know that the guy has no face, so he might be a robot or just a presence.
I assume that he's based on a real person, so I don't want to show his face.
That would explain why. I was like, what's happening with... I don't remember what cartoons from like old age didn't show people's bodies. I was like, what is this? Blast to the past.
Mom and Dad from Cow and Chicken?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, but in Cow and Chicken, it's canon that they are just legs.
I don't know. I feel like it was... Like, it gets close to them revealing that they are just eggs, but it's still vague enough. I said eggs, didn't I?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, they are just eggs, actually.
They haven't been born yet, but they already have children.
So, what do you guys think about Cow and Chicken?
Oh, no, a Cow and Chicken podcast yet. We haven't run out of anime yet. Now in pajamas, we see Mirai about to look at her audition song on her phone, and we get the credits with a decent song and animation, which is what I wrote before we find out that they're actually the opening credits for the rest of the show. And my next note is, I'm not going to lie, I suddenly began to worry about the number of characters in the end credits and hoped they wouldn't appear until the 4th episode.
That was a very valid concern, I'm going to be honest with you.
The second episode starts with a recap before we see Mirai running late. We then go to producer, who is looking at a photo on his phone showing where he's supposed to be meeting Tsubasa, and he's clearly in the wrong place. The photo shows Southgate and green signs, but the yellow signs he's looking at show the east and west exits and none of the same train lines, so no, dude, this is not the right place. I think this is the right place. No. Even if you're colorblind and can't tell the color of the signs, you can read the signs. As in the previous episode, Mirai collides with producer, but she runs off to meet with Shizuka, and we're told there is 2 weeks until the audition.
Yeah, and that colliding happens all the time, right?
I bring it up every time it happens, yes.
Like every episode they collide, like till the very last episode.
They'll produce a movie of this show and she'll still collide with it. We come back to producer and Tsubasa at a cafe, and it turns out that producer scouted Tsubasa at a fashion show. Although she wasn't fond of the idea of being an idol, the spring special changed her mind, though she does not intend to do any hard work.
Yeah, she's a lazy fuck.
She is my spirit animal. We cut back to the other two who are practicing their dancing in the park, and Mariah is doing poorly. They stop for lunch, and we cut to producer's office, where he's chatting to new office employee Misaki Aoba and office employee Katori Otanashi, and then chief producer and the president both appear from out of nowhere to pile on the pressure that producer must be feeling. There are 35 people taking part in the project, and after the audition, there's going to be more. But producer fears that he doesn't know how to draw out the best of them, so he's told to come up with a group name. We cut to three of the idols practicing dancing. I'm going to start listing names, and I hate myself. Nao Yokoyama, Shiro Kitazawa, and Yuriko Nanao. They finish and immediately decide to check on what the others have been doing, because I clearly just need to recite lists of names for these episodes. Anna Mochizuki is streaming games, while Minako Satake, Kane Yabuki, and Sarika Hakozaki were serving free samples at a mall. We then cut back to the park, where Mariah and Shizuka finish practicing, and upon realizing it's after 5 p.m, it quits for the day. We immediately cut to another day. Turns out it's 2 weeks later, when they are entering a large building where the auditions are being held, and Mariah almost collides with producer again, but he stops her this time. They sign in while two members of the group, Momoko Suyo, Kotoka Tanaka, and I wrote two, and there were three of them, Umi Kosaka, appear, just so that I have to write their names down.
Yeah.
Mariah enters an auditorium and gets told off by Konomi Baba, who has a driving license but is short and looks young. That's the joke.
What the shrimp? What is this, Full Metal Alchemist?
You're an adult, Mariah goes. Leaving the room, they meet Sora Hayasaka, the photographer, who takes their photo before they go and get changed and go into the interview room together. The way that's written, it sounds like the photographer goes in with them, but no, it's Mariah and
Shizuka. Well, the cameraman is pretty much everywhere, because otherwise there wouldn't be any show for us to watch.
Snap cuts to after the interview, and producer is told that although he wanted the auditions to... This note made more sense when we thought that there were more people auditioning, but no, it's just these two. So producer wanted them to sing in threes, but one person didn't turn up. So Mariah and Shizuka have to go on as a duo. But wait, what if he gets Tsubasa to join them? They get on stage and sing Ratatat, with 3 exclamation points, the song that plays over the titles.
They sing Ratatouille?
No. Shizuka has a panic attack, but manages to recover, and they manage to cause a mass hallucination among the assembled audience. I assume there's a gas leak in the arena.
No, they just used unlimited blade works.
No, it was the psycho power.
We get credits, but over a scene where the president introduces himself to Mariah, Shizuka, and Tsubasa, and the producer explains that he has decided on a name for the project, Million Stars, because he felt like he saw a million stars while the three were up on stage.
He can count really, really fast.
To be fair, he said countless stars, a million stars.
Oh, so million equals countless, okay. Can he tell me how many is infinity?
1,000,001.
He can't count to 1,000,000, but he can count to infinity. So the third episode opens immediately following the previous episode, where the president shows the trio where they will be debuting. No, it's not a field. It's the 765 Pro Live Theater, currently under construction. And then we go to titles. As the trio and producer are leaving the field, they come across Roko Handa picking a statue out of junk. They're joined by Matsuri Takokawa, who arrives on a horse, a fake horse, on wheels, which she got from a minister.
Yeah, I was really confused about that. It's like, wait a minute. It would make more sense if it was a real horse now.
So a minister, she got her horse at a church?
Yeah, some Brandon Priest is handing out wooden horses to 14-year-olds. That's... Anyway, the first two episodes showed absolutely nobody who was completely insane, so this one has been eye-opening so far. The trio go inside with him promising that the other girls are normal, only for Subaru Nagayashi and Umi Kuwasaka to almost hit him with a baseball. Producer confirms that there are now 37 idols, and I really hope they all get those fancy naming credits every time they appear, because I lost track the second Tsubasa was introduced. However, he also confirms that they won't be meeting the All-Stars anytime soon, so I'm glad I didn't bother writing their names down after all.
R.I.P. All-Star Smash Mouth.
Producer has to leave urgently, so leaves the trio with Yuriko and Nanao to go to the lesson room, so they go and get changed. Producer, meanwhile, discovers a box of merch that is themed around Million Stars member Akane Nonohara, and about 5 seconds into her speaking, I was entirely sick of her. She is a bit much. The trio go to the lesson and trick Yuriko into joining them, even though her lesson is next, because they call her senpai and that pushes the right buttons.
Yeah, that's my dream too.
Afterwards, Yuriko is knackered despite being only 1 year older, and the rest of her class enters for their lesson, and she's forced to join in with them. Elsewhere, some of the Million Stars are about to go on stage with the All-Stars, but I'm not listing who was there. It's explained earlier that the Million Stars have been like rotating in and out of being backup dancers for the All-Stars, so they're getting some stage time. Outside of the lesson room, producer and chief producer discuss what to do with only 2 months until pre-open, and producer realizes that he can get the idols to help him decide. At least, I think that's what he realizes. He goes in to check on them after the lesson, and they all wind up going to the stage, which is still under construction, showing that producer has zero power over his idols. Construction is clearly still underway, and will be done in 2 months. I had to smile when Mariah shouts, "Thanks for building this place," and the constructions were like, "Thanks, good luck."
Well, I mean, well, we noticed that time passes by really quickly, so next scene is going to be 2 months from now, right? We already skipped 2 weeks. What's 2 months?
Yuriko then takes them to the roof to see the city at night, across the ocean. I mean river. And that's funny because Mariah calls it an ocean earlier in the episode, but it's actually a river.
Well, no one knows these things. I see a puddle and call it a river sometimes. Especially in this weather climate.
I mean, in the UK, some northern towns had rivers that used to be roads, so...
Oh no, we had one here, too. In Scotland. Go rivers.
You know, river, that's where your car drives.
That's where your car is floating away.
Because of the glow sticks, she says that the view from the roof is the same as what you get on stage, because of all the lights from the buildings. The credits then play over the trio leaving the area, only for the episode to end exactly the same way the previous one. In a field!
That's gonna be a running joke.
So, was this a good adaptation? Okay, I'll go. No, there was hardly any singing, and definitely no tapping on a screen like a maniac trying to get high score.
Was original Idolmaster a mobile game?
I'm not sure, but Idolmaster Million Live Theatre Days is a mobile game, so I'm sure there's at least one other mobile game. So based on the first three episodes, is it a Yata, a Nanny, or a Baka, Arturo?
This was definitely a Baka for me. I was quite bored for a while of that. It just feels like not much happens, and not even much happened throughout the first 3 hours of them. Like, throughout the first three episodes, sorry, which is, you know, quite bad. And I didn't care for the characters. It feels like the story was kind of weird. They just become idols randomly, and then, yay, congratulations. So, no, definitely not for me. I also didn't like the animation and like Dragon Quest Your Story, which kind of sucks because I really like Dragon Quest Your Story's animation.
And Goes?
I think it was Yata. I think it was okay, and I actually liked the animation. Like,
this is war.
Well, war never changes. But it seems like a standard slice of life kind of thing more than anything else. Slice of idle life.
For me, it's also a yata. I thought it was well animated, except for one instance someone turned their head and I thought that looked really weird. It would have probably looked better with traditional animation. But it's also well-voiced. The three episodes went by quickly enough, so I was never bored. It has a variety of characters, which is good for watching, not so much for writing synopses. So, will you continue watching The Idol Master Million Live, Arturo?
No, I think for me this one's definitely a skip. There's a couple that we've watched that I want to get back to, and my wife and I have been watching more anime, so if I were to watch this, it would be in a far future.
And Gozugos?
Probably not, but it's mainly because I don't have much time to watch anything recently. But yeah, if I did, I might watch more, a few more episodes, see if it picks up more.
For me, probably not. The subplot of Shizuka's dad seemingly being against her becoming an idol isn't that interesting. Although Ratatats was a really good song. I can definitely see the appeal of this anime, but yes, it's not something I'll probably return to.
From the few episodes, the three episodes that I saw, I anticipate like more conflict between characters coming up from like personal issues, maybe. I'm anticipating that, and that's why I would see a few more episodes and see what happens. Because this is always interesting to me, see how people understand each other and stuff.
Fair enough. And that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gozgos.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Grincast podcast. In the meantime, game on.